Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Emerging as one of South Africa's most promising artists is rapper The Big Hash. In 2018 saw the rapper win the hearts and respect of music lovers across the country with his series of releases, including Dark Horse featuring Ricky Rick and Outkast featuring A. Reese and Flame, as well as chart-topping hit The Circles featuring Questa. Keep an eye on The Big Hash as he continues his musical journey with his unique style and inspiring storytelling in hip-hop and R&B. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got The Big Hash. Where do we find you in the world and how are you doing?
You'll find me in Pretoria, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm okay, thank you. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Now, let's find out, why did you choose the name, or where does the name The Big Hash come from?
So it's actually a funny story. So I was going to high school. My first day at high school, I went to a boarding school. And when I checked in the day before actual school started, I had a very small body, but I had like an extremely large head, extremely large feet, extremely large hands. So like already like I'm a target for kids. Like, yeah. Oh, it's the myth, it's the legend, it's Bigfoot. And like before I even left boys' dorms, I'd already started hearing whispers from the girls' side that, oh, I was already Bigfoot. So it's like, you know, in high school, it's either you embrace the name or you like get it used against you as a weapon, you know? So yeah, they threw the tag on me and unfortunately I had to wear it. I had to wear it proudly. Like every time someone greeted me like, yeah, yo, Bigfoot. in my mind, like, mm-mm. So eventually when I fell in love with making music, I was like looking for a rap name, and I just eventually ended up using that, like Bigfoot, but I put like a hashtag in front of the Bigfoot, but it was a silent hashtag because at the time it was 2014. Twitter was just something new to me. And it was like, you know, creating its own boom at that point. And eventually I got to Instagram phase 2 years later, and it's either you make an Instagram name where people can follow you, or like you chase girls away, you know, like, and I couldn't put the word Bigfoot as like an Instagram handle because no girl would follow a guy called Bigfoot.
Yeah.
You know? So I just saw the hash in front of it and I was like, oh, well, The Big Hash. And then I just used it as an Instagram name, even though I was using the rap name Bigfoot. But then I got to school and my friends are like, yo, dude, this is such like a cool name. Like, why would you even like think of going back and not using this name? So I ended up using The Big Hash and we're here now.
Lovely. I love that story. It's so cute. So like fun. I love the involvement of it. So now you mentioned that you fell in love with music, creating music. At what age did that happen? And how did the journey accumulate to where we are now in the creation of music?
I actually hated music when I was growing up.
Wait, all types of music?
Like all types of music. I genuinely hated music. It's a pretty messed up story, but like it's not really. I think in my own world it was messed up because like every time I heard like, and this is no disrespect at all.
Yes.
Like I was young, I didn't understand you know the song concepts or anything, but like when I heard 50 Cent's Candy Shop, it made me hate music. Like I say this respectfully because I was young. Like I was like maybe 5, 6 when I was hearing it. So okay, I didn't really like understand, what you know, like it was just, and it was just like, it was very unenjoyable. If that's a word.
Yeah.
So eventually I heard Josh Groban's You Raise Me Up.
Yep.
When I was 6 at that point, and that made me like, be like, huh, Maybe not all bad, you know? And I heard Coldplay's Viva La Vida.
Yes.
And that made me like interested in just like hearing all types of music at that point. And when I was 11, that's when I first heard Drake. And like he was the guy what like that was doing everything, whether it was like rapping or singing, he was doing it. And I fell in love with the idea that he wasn't boxed in. And I wasn't like privy to the whole world, like Kanye West and Jay-Z at that point, and like, you know, the rest of them. Like I wasn't like mind boggled by any one of them. But then when I really discovered that, hey, you can do it, because at that point, like I was a singer, but I had like I had very little interest in rap up until I heard Drake. And that's when it was like, okay, boom. Now I know how to do this thing. And like I fell in love with it like 11 going forward, and I was writing my own songs since.
And then so you fell in love with, so how did that journey progress? So you mentioned you fell in love with the music and the singing and the rapping. So then what were the next steps for you to become creating and signing and being where you are?
Pretty much for my high school career, I was stuck in school, and like I couldn't even afford studio at that point. So it was like very tough, because like I was trying to like do everything besides school, like, and it just didn't make sense, like, and I was stuck in school. I was trying to do everything besides school.
I understand what you're saying.
it was a pretty tough decision for me to like even get to a point where I'm confident enough to be like, you know what, I'm gonna take a risk. And eventually in my 11th year, grade 11, I actually dropped out of school. That was like a very tough situation, because like I just felt like my mind was barely in it, because like I used to get to class during exams, write my name, my grade, my surname, the subject I'm writing, what paper it is, and like I'd sleep for 3 hours, or like write a rap on the exam paper and then like fold the papers. Like, so it didn't light me on fire. And the thing is that, like, contrary to what most people might think of me being a dropout, I'm actually like kind of a smart person, I would like to say. Like,
wait, no, okay, so let's pause right there. Everyone, okay, no matter what background, what experience, what opportunities or non-opportunities, I just want to put this out there to you and the listeners, everyone is smart in their own way. There's no such thing as dumb, in inverted commas. Every person is smart, but I believe, and this is, people can have this debate with me, I do believe that the schooling systems are in such a way that people who are not smart in those categories are then now labeled in a way that now makes the society look down on them, look ill on them, or make them think that, okay, they'll never succeed, which is nonsense. So let's just put that out there. And we are all smart. So hashtag drop that smartness and carry on with your story.
I dropped out. And the only place that I needed to go was a studio.
Yep.
Because that, like, the goal was like, okay, I'm out now. What now? Huh?
Yes.
As cliche as it sounds, like, you know, I hit the studio, I found a studio. There were guys that I knew from like the internet that were really good at what they were doing, but like they hadn't really had any exposure, you know?
Yeah.
So we finally up, and I ended up partnering with them, because like the music that we're making at that point just it sounded next level to us. And like eventually the same year when I dropped out, I dropped two projects that year, one before I dropped out of school and one after. And that project gained some momentum, and I was able to carry it into the next year, where early in that year, within like maybe 9 months of me dropping out, Ricky Rick had reached out. Yeah, and he'd reached out because he had heard a project that I just put out at the time that was actually like spreading like wildfire. It was called Life and Times of a Teenage Influence. And I was 17 at the time, actually. I was turning 18. And, you know, he reached out and we linked up the same day. From there, like, the rest was history, because then the internet just, it lit up.
Okay, so now from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song, what is that journey? Is it easy every time? What invigorates it? Let's dive into your creative brain and creating music.
So I actually like sometimes if I like a song and I sit on it for too long, I might rewrite the whole thing. some I used to like write without any beats, because I just used to hear the beat in my head, and that's how I used to create music. I would love to get back to that, because that I just felt like, wow, that's like so, I don't know, so very right-brained of me. I would like to get back, but I like write the same song over and over, and I'll be like, I don't like the song, or like I don't, and like I'll switch it up. But sometimes when like the song's the one, the song's the one. Like you just know, like, and I'm not a complicated guy. Like if I hear the right beat in the right moment, I could just stop everything and be like, okay, no, I don't want to hear any more beats. Like just stop.
You mentioned you hear a beat. How do you know that it's an original beat compared to one that you might have heard subconsciously while listening to other music?
Everything is actually inspired by something that previously existed.
Okay, understood.
So it's like there's no way that you could be like, oh, this beat is original, like,
Okay.
because like I'm sure it has its own like twist to it. There's no one beat that where you're like, well, I've never heard anything like it. You may have not heard anything like it, but it probably exists somewhere else, and someone else has probably already heard a beat like that. Like it matters how you take the beat and make it your own. That's
Okay.
the most important part. The beat doesn't matter as much as the person bringing the words to it.
You mentioned that sometimes there are songs that you are challenging in the sense that you rewrite them, etc. Is there ever a time when you're like, okay, this is not happening, just throw it away? Or do you always,
Of course, it
okay.
happens to every
So it's not a thing about sitting on it. You say, okay, cool. This is not working. Let's just chuck it out.
No, sometimes like when you hear something and you're like, well, it's me, it's not the beat, then like you'll sit on the beat. Like there's some songs where even some of my biggest songs, like I sat on the beat like for 11 months, even 2 years, where like I just had the beat like chilling there, and I didn't have like anything to do with it, because every time I stepped up, I did something, the words weren't coming out. It just all matters about how you feel in the moment and what drives you insane about the beat in that very moment
Okay.
that makes you.
So when it's taking that length of time, the 2 years, 11 months, whatever it is, do you get frustrated? Or is it like, okay, this is not happening now. Let's just put it to the side and we'll look at it at another time.
Every artist gets frustrated because
Okay.
they wanna tackle the beat. Like there's no ways, like if you think, okay, the beat is hot, that you don't wanna get something done to it, because you wanna leave the studio with something, because you like you hear yourself on the beat, and like you get frustrated because like it's not coming out. Of course you
Okay.
get frustrated.
Okay, so what do you enjoy about performing live?
If I wasn't doing it alone, I wouldn't enjoy it. That's one thing for sure. You can't be performing to yourself, it's not enjoyable. If there's people there and people are enjoying themselves, like that's the most enjoyable part, when people are singing back to you, when you hear the roar, when you hear like it's like everyone has their own adrenaline or
Yeah.
dopamine that hit. And for some people it's drugs, for some people it's seeing progress. Like when you hear people singing back to you, that tells you, oh, it's progress. It's like, oh, damn, I was in the studio the whole time and I was trying so hard to come up with the song, and there are people that are singing it back to me, which means my words matter, which means I'm growing as a person, which
Okay.
means the audience is growing. It means, like, I wouldn't say validation, but more like appreciation.
Okay, so I've got another point of discussion around this, and I'm interested to hear your perception. So I'm normally that guy who's right in front at the concert. I'll take my phone out for a couple of songs, couple of photos, and I put my phone away in order to maintain being in the present, being in the moment, and being connected. I find that a lot of people around me have their phone out for the majority of the time, trying to get videos all the time, trying to get pictures. In fact, sometimes they turn their back to the stage and they film themselves with you as artist small in the background. As a person receiving that or seeing that, do you just find that it's where society is at the moment, or does it frustrate you at all?
It doesn't frustrate me at all, because like think about it. If people didn't care about your performance, why are they still standing there? If people were on their phones the whole time, they could have just gone to the bathroom during your performance if no one like really cared. Like no one is like held under like gunpoint or anything. It's like something Muzli told me. when I was like really like first entering the industry and like, you know, getting to performances, like these big performances where like no one would react to anything. And like it's very disheartening seeing people just standing there, like just gawking at you, like, and like there's no reaction, nothing. You're like, oh, are you ready? Crickets. Like, it's not that like people don't care. It's like people don't know you and they're trying to figure you out. Like, if people are just standing there, like, are trying to figure you out, it's like, okay, there's something to care about, but it's like, okay, what is it? I'm trying to figure that part out. But think about it now. If someone is filming you and then they film and they turn their back, but they're filming you in the performance, dog, you are something that you're worth being filmed for.
Are
Like,
that
you know, why is that an insult? Why is that like something that should like make you feel like, oh man, like this performance is like so, everything is going downhill. No one cares about me. Oh, why are you filming me then? Why do you feel the need to get yourself in the frame of me in this? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I get you. I
it's,
get you. It's interesting. Yeah.
yeah.
I know if I had to ask you this question today, tomorrow, 2 years, 2 months, I know your answer will be different every time because there are millions of them. I'm not saying a favorite, but if you had to push play to five songs by other artists once we've finished this conversation, what would those five songs be and by whom?
I would definitely say there's a song by Mariah Carey, Jay-Z, and Freeway. It's called You Got Me. And then Human Nature by Michael Jackson. December 4th by Jay-Z.
Yep.
I'm a big Jay-Z fan. Wow. Like my mind goes blank. Like, and like I have a whole playlist that I stack up of Hipster Girl by Xavier Omar. And let me say one more.
One more, yeah.
Another Day by the Big Hash, I guess.
Of course, you have to. There we go. Now,
Like,
what are the short-term plans and the long-term plans? What's happening in the next in the pipeline?
I'm dropping my album. My album is called Heartbreak Hotel. I'm very excited for that. I've been working on the album for about 5 years. So it's something of an effect of from early 2019 to like late 2023. And it's something that to me is like so important. Because like I feel like it's a generational album. Like I said something like that about my debut project. It was called Young, and that was like my very first number one album in the country. And I said something like that. And I'm saying something like that again for this. This is something that I feel like if people heard it, they understood it, they'd be like, wow, nah, he wasn't lying. Like this is like such an important step because I don't feel like there's a lot of people in the country that are making music that I'm making right now. I'm just saying, very excited about that. I want to go on tour. I'm planning on my tour right now. There's really nothing else to tell about 2024 besides, why don't you find out when it happens?
Love that. I love that. And it's going to be wow.
I'm chasing a Grammy, by the way.
No, not chasing. Let's say you've already been nominated, you've already won, and it's on your shelf.
Okay.
Let's already achieve it.
I can agree with that.
Okay, cool. So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Please look out for Heartbreak Hotel and please follow me on all social media platforms. I'm not on Twitter at the moment, but you can follow me on Instagram at the Big Hash. There's no underscores, there's no capital letters or anything. You can follow me there. I am the Big Hash on Twitter, oh, wait, on Instagram and Threads. And yeah, pretty much.
And on
Oh.
TikTok and Facebook.
Oh yeah, there's TikTok and not on Facebook.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.